Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into the world of magnetism. We're using Principi di Magnetismo e Materiali as our guide, our goal. To give you a kind of shortcut to understanding this, well, this essential force, we'll look at the basics, how it works inside materials, and some really surprising ways it affects us.
Absolutely. It might seem abstract, magnetism, but honestly, it's fundamental to so much. Motors, data storage, it's everywhere. And this source material, it really lays out the what and the how quite well.
Okay, so let's unpack this. It's invisible, right? How do we even start thinking about something like a magnetic field? How do you represent it?
That's a great starting point. We often imagine these lines of force. It helps visualize the direction and strength. And when we talk about magnetic field flux through a surface, that's basically counting how many lines go through an area. It gives us a measure, usually in Weber.
Weber, okay.
And a key rule here is Gauss's theorem for magnetic fields. What it tells us, fundamentally, is that these lines always loop back on themselves, always closed loops, which means, well, you never find just a North Pole on its own, no magnetic monopole.
Right, no monopoles, so they always come in pairs, North and South. Okay, so we can picture these fields, but where do they actually come from? What makes them?
That gets us to the core relationship, electricity and magnetism, moving electric charges. That's the source. Ampere's theorem is crucial here. It links the circulation of the magnetic field around a closed loop directly to the electric current passing through that loop, the concatenated current.
So current flowing creates the field around it.
Exactly. Think of current in a wire, like a an infinitely long cylindrical conductor. The current density inside creates a specific field pattern. Or wrap that wire into a coil, an infinite solenoid, pass current through it. Boom, you get a nice uniform magnetic field inside. Wherever electricity flows, magnetism sort of follows.
Okay, fascinating. So current makes a field. Now, what happens when that field interacts with something else? Say, another loop of wire carrying current. Does it push it, pull it?
It definitely does something. That's where the action is. You put a current loop in a magnetic field. The field exerts forces on the moving charges in that loop. These forces create a twist, a moment of forces. And what does that twist do? It makes the loop want to rotate.
I think I see where this is going.
You got it. That rotation is the absolute basic principle of the electric motor, turning electrical energy into actual physical movement. We talk about the magnetic moment of a loop. That's kind of a measure of how strongly it tries to align with the field.
That makes sense for motors, but it gets more complex, right? Because materials themselves react differently. It's not just about currents we create, but tiny currents inside the matter.
Precisely. You've got these microscopic currents at the atomic level. Electrons orbiting, spinning. They create tiny magnetic fields. These add up, or sometimes cancel out, leading to the overall magnetic properties of materials. We call the effect magnetization current.
So materials aren't just passive, they actively participate.
Oh, absolutely. And they do it differently. You have diamagnetic materials that are actually weakly repelled by magnetic fields, then paramagnetic ones, which are weakly attracted. But the really interesting ones are the ferromagnetic materials.
Like iron?
Like iron, nickel, cobalt, yeah. They're strongly attracted, and they can dramatically enhance a magnetic field. We use relative magnetic permeability to describe how much they boost it. They can even become permanent magnets themselves.
Okay, let's dive into those ferromagnetic ones then. They sound important. What's this magnetic hysteresis loop about? And magnetic domains.
All right, so inside ferromagnetic materials, you don't just have random atomic magnets. They group together in regions called Weiss domains or magnetic domains. Billions of atoms all aligned, like tiny magnets. Normally, these domains point in random directions, so the material isn't magnetic overall. But apply an external field.
They line up.
They start to line up.
Yeah.
The domains aligned with the field grow, others shrink or rotate. This gives you the first magnetization curve. Keep increasing the field, and eventually, almost all domains are aligned. That's saturation. Now, the cool part, the hysteresis, is that when you remove the external field, many domains stay aligned. That's how you get a permanent magnet.
Residual magnetism.
Exactly. And we exploit this alignment process to make electromagnets, too, wrap a coil around a ferromagnetic core, pass current, and the core boosts the field massively. Curie temperature is also relevant here. It's the point where ferromagnetism breaks down due to heat. And think about applications. Simple things like the ammeter and voltmeter often rely on the force between a magnetic field and a current-carrying coil.
Wow. Okay, so we went from visualizing fields to how current creates them, how fields create motion in motors, and now down to the microscopic domains inside materials that make magnets possible. It's quite a journey.
It really is. And if you connect all this to the bigger picture, all these effects that they're described beautifully by, the overarching laws of electromagnetism, like Maxwell's equations, it all fits together. So maybe the thought to leave with is this: just consider how much of the technology around you, from the power grid delivering electricity to your computer's hard drives to even medical imaging, how much of it quietly depends on harnessing these invisible magnetic forces and the specific ways materials respond to them. It's truly shaping our world.